love it when a plan comes together.
We're here on the iPhone 5 line with Rachel. Rachel, what's the haps?
Well, everybody wants a new version of iPhone 5, so we're waiting in line.
Now, some people decided to do this silly thing and order it on the internet. Why did you decide to wait online?
I don't want to get ripped off by the internet, so I decided to just wait in line.
Have you heard a lot of horror stories through the internet going and ripping people off?
Scams and stuff like that, so yeah. I'm just going to avoid the internet. I'm just waiting in line.
Now, you know, it is a smart thing to avoid the internet. What do you use your smartphone for, or what are you planning on using it for?
Texting, messages to my friends.
Well, it's good to get an iPhone then. What are the features about the new iPhone that have you so excited?
I'm not sure because I haven't seen it yet, but I'm pretty sure it would be, like, really cool to use every day, like a laptop.
Sure. What influenced you to get on this line then?
Like everybody else that's waiting in line, we're just, like, really wanting to buy Apple Phone 5, and we want our phones now.
You're at a good point because you have no idea what the iPhone 5 offers, so it's like, while all these people may be disappointed or know what to expect, it's all going to be a surprise for you.
Yeah, and I can't wait, too, because I heard that it's only $200 instead of $800, so I'm very enthused. I might buy two or three phones.
So what happens if you get into the store and it costs more than $200?
That's right, because I have my credit card.
Perfect. Pay later.
Why not? So we'll see what happens. I really want iPhone 5, and I'm not willing to walk out of my place in line.
What is it about the iPhone 5 that makes you want it so much?
I like the way it's designed. I like the Apple on it. It's white. It's, like, silver colors, glass frames. It's, like, really cool. It's touchscreen. Everything is really, really advanced and cool about the iPhone 5.
It has a camera, I've heard.
I guess so. I've never owned anything like that before in my life, so we'll see.
It'll take still pictures of moving images.
That's even better.
Have you been sitting here the entire time for the last 2 days?
Yeah. I mean, there's barricades up and everything. I'm behind a barricade. I'm waiting for Apple 5, and I will call my boyfriend as soon as I get Apple 5.
Because you'll have a phone.
Yeah, and I can tell where I am because I found out about Apple 5, and I'm very hyped about it, and I'm not willing to buy any other phone right now because I want internet.
With the Apple 5.
Right.
And that internet won't scam you.
I hope not. I don't think it ever will because I use Apple 5 all the time, and I've never had a problem at all with Apple. I mean, not Apple 5, but I use Apple.
The previous Apples.
I mean, yeah, Apple 4, but Apple 5 is what I want to buy now, so.
Well, good luck.
I know. So congrats to me about getting the Apple 5 because I've shared phones before with other people, but I've never owned my own.
This is going to be great.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog on. There's a big trap of my head sound of town. No local yoga gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got the trigger wound and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar band.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown, I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a jet guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Okay, that ought to be good. Let's start all over here. I don't so sure what happened, but it is the 30th of July, and welcome to the shooting bench, where I think we have everything running now. I'll wait before I get too carried away and make sure that we get a confirmation from the okay. All right. All righty. Let's move on then. As I was going to say, I almost was going to call to Tinker and say, you know what, I'm not even going to try tonight because we had so much rain again last night. It was probably, it was the second worst rain I've ever seen since I've been here. Got up this morning to go down to Phoenix and there was rocks washed out in the road and everything. It rained and thundered. I mean, the bedroom was lit up like somebody was running flash cubes in there, dang near all night. It flooded. And I said, it's not, there's not even any point in trying. So far, it's going okay. So we'll just, we'll let it go. And if it gives up, it gives up. But, well, hey, Northwest Heavy's in there. Good to see you, brother. Hey, by the way, I got just today, I'm sitting right here on the table. Trigger bars are in. And trigger kits will be going out no later than the end of this week. So that should be hopefully good news for about 10 or 12 people there that's been waiting patiently. So, all right. Let's see here. I'm going to get my thoughts in order. It always happens when I have problems. I lose my train of thought, and then I have to get everything back on track here and get headed in the right direction. So, let's see. Boy, there's been a lot of stuff going on right now, I can tell you that, besides for the weather. The weather was quite amazing around here, to say the least. Let's see here. Let's try this right here. There we go. I'm not going to spend any time on this because I don't care one way or another, but I thought it was interesting that the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, lost $15 billion with a B, Bravo, dollars in less than a day. The largest drop, it dropped him out of the top 10 wealthiest people in America, and not sure exactly what caused that, but it was obviously said some things that he probably wishes he hadn't said. He's going to try to fix that. Of course, he's still got, 55, 60 billion dollars, something like that. I think he had 72 or something like that, 72 billion, or he's worth that much. And anyway, so I don't care one way or the other. This will be bad news for some of the AR owners. The ATF has just come out with a new deal here that says that they're planning to reclassify AR uppers chambered for the 50 BMG as firearms. Now, this has been something hadn't bothered me. It's something I've been wondering about for years, literally years, for probably since 2003. In 2003 is when I discovered that you could take a Glock upper, a complete Glock upper, barrel and all the guts in it, and duct tape that to a piece of wood, a 2x2, and have it where you could reach underneath it and reach the little boot heel on the striker, and you could make that gun fire. Now, is it a smart idea? Probably not. I'm just telling you it works. Don't try this at home, kids. But so I always wondered, why is it the frame of the Glock, the plastic frame, with no guts, no parts, no nothing, just the plastic frame, I should say the space-age polymer frame, not plastic, why that part is classified as the gun? That's the part that if you want to send to me for me to do work on, we have to go through an FFL to do it because it has to be transferred properly. But I can buy the barrel and the upper and all the guts for the upper and all the guts for the lower on the internet. No background check, no age, no ID, no nothing. Just here's my money, send me some. And they do. But the upper part of it, I could actually make fire. I could turn that into a semi-effective weapon with some duct tape and a 2x2 or 2x4 or whatever. And with just a little bit of ingenuity, you could do the same thing with the upper on an AR. But the lower is the part that's classified as a weapon. The lower is what you have to do an FFL transfer for, even though the upper will shoot without the lower. But the lower you have to transfer. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Anyway, the ATF is classifying 50 caliber bullet. You know, the AR, the upper for an AR for the 50 cal is, I don't know about all of them, I think they are, they're bolt action. I can't imagine why that's any different, you know, as far as their classification goes, but the bolt action they are classifying as a firearm, so you will have to transfer both the upper and the lower, I should say upper or the lower. If you buy it in one piece, then obviously, I mean, as a complete gun, then it doesn't make any difference. But if you buy them individually, you'll have to transfer the lower and you'll have to transfer the upper if it's a bolt action 50 cal. So there you go. Yeah, that's true. You could take the barrel out of anything. Well, the thing is, though, most of the, well, no, I won't say that. I'll say some, but not most. I was going to say most of the 22, the rifle barrels have serial numbers on them. That's not at all true. They're on the receiver. So yeah, you could take the barrel out of anything, which is not any different than taking a piece of pipe out of the garage and making a 12 gauge, you know, piece of, what did I think, 3/4 inch pipe. Yeah. And, making a 12 gauge shotgun out of it. So, but the barrel, of course, the barrel on most of them is attached enough to the receiver that the average person can't get it off. You know, not so with the 10/22, or not so with any one of the multitude of single-shot 22s, single-shot 30-30s, single-shot 22 Magnum, single-shot da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Lots and lots and lots of them out there. They'll all shoot without the barrels, I mean, without the receiver. And the, of course, you'd have to do something look kind of ingenious to put something on the back of it to keep it from shooting out of there and tearing your head off. But 22 is not too hard, but some of your bigger calibers might be a little bit of an issue. Anyway, that's something for you to think about if you're planning on getting one of these things. You know, it was only when was it, 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, that we had talked about this new thing that I plan to get going here. I actually am working on it, and I have some help from some people in Washington and some people here in Arizona and New Mexico. And we're going to really get serious about this wolf situation around here. And I'm looking up a bunch of old stories of attacks and stuff. And the biggest thing, one of the biggest things about, They say that the wolves are not man-eaters. I think I told you the other day I found several stories where wolves had eaten people or fed on them, maybe not eat them completely, but, and I've got pictures that I took of dog that was eaten by wolves. And then here is the picture that I took. The dog was eaten completely. His head was still attached, but it was complete skeletal frame. It was eaten down to the bone there, except for the head. Here in Kamiai, Washington, or Idaho, wolves kill. This was in 2008. This is old story, and the reason I'm getting some of these older stories is because I want people to see that this is not just something new that we're just trying to make up here. This has been going on for a long, long time. This story is from 2008. It's 10 years old. And there was a guy had a, or two guys, two brothers here. I think they were brothers. Anyway, two guys had a pack of hunting dogs, six of them, seven of them in the pack. And they heard them out there, and they heard something wasn't right. You know, they as they got closer, they heard a big scuffle and everything going on. And they got up there, and they found a dog here and a dog there and a couple over there. And anyway, the pack of wolves had killed six of their dogs. One of them was still alive. They tried to get it to the vet, but it died on the way. So I guess six was the complete pack, not seven. But they were hunting bears, and they'd actually treed a bear and were baying. And at the same time, some of the other dogs went in a different direction. And they used their radio collars and everything to track them down. Anyway, it's a very, very sad thing. I mean, not just because you're a dog lover, but because there's some of these dogs are worth a lot of money. There was one dog here. What did he say about this one? hang on just a minute, excuse me there. He said Mickey, they found Mickey dead, and said Mickey dog was almost a legend in this area, just a heck of an animal. So if he had that kind of reputation around there, you can bet that that dog was worth anywhere from $1,000 to maybe as high as, you know, $5,000 or $6,000. So it's not just because you love dogs. It's not just because you've put a lot of money and a lot of time into training them. It's because they're worth a lot of money. So there's no telling how many thousand dollars these wolves took from these guys by killing these six dogs. So that's the kind of stuff we're looking for here for this attack that we're about to undertake here. And, you know, I read a couple of things today, and watched one YouTube video that kind of intrigued me. And a lot of this started with Lavoie, but there were people that believed this even, you know, before Lavoie was ever the sensation that he turned into. But people are waking up, and a little bit at a time, I've said this two or three times, but I've only said it, you know, say in the last 2 years. You know, the preceding 8 years that I was on the air, I really didn't say this. I kept saying that we're losing people all the time. But It may have, Mimi. It may have said 10 grand. I don't have any idea. If it did, I missed that. But it wouldn't surprise me at all. Over the last couple of years, tiny bit at a time, I've seen people that are standing up and they're fighting back. You know, you'd hear of one once in a while before that, here and there. It's not a completely foreign concept to everybody, but it's been picking up quite a bit. So I'm not leading up to a story with that. I'm just saying, you know, the things in your area, if you have things anywhere from, you know, I talked to today? It was one of our senators here in our district. I spent probably an hour on the phone with her today. And we got to talking about firewood permits. You know, when I was a kid, I was 16. I would take my dad's one-ton flatbed truck, and me and Noel Allen Christensen would run out, and I'd go and get a chainsaw from Noel Hardware there in Farmington, rent a chainsaw. And I'd drive about, how far was it? Probably 60, maybe 75 miles out to Carson National Forest. And we would cut all that wood up to stove size, you know, fireplace size. Cut them to the right length. Fill that truck up with as much as we could possibly get on it and drop one off here and, you know, fall off the side or here and there on the way back. And we'd get back and sell that wood for $35 a cord and still made money on it. That was after renting the saw, paying the gas to get out there and back, and sold it for $35. And now your permits cost that much or more, depending on where you're at. And the permit now limits you. There was no permit back then. You just go out and find dead wood and you take it and take it home. There was no, I guess snowy owls hadn't been invented yet because nobody cared about standing dead snags. You know, you cut them down, they're ugly anyway. You cut them down and take them home. And now, many times you can't take standing dead because it was, because it could be habitat for woodpeckers or snowy owls or centipedes or whatever, I don't know. And hey, Granny Red made it in here tonight. Hey, old Granny. Doggone. Been a long time since seeing you in here. And I don't know exactly what the correct answer is here. We can protest till the cows come home. Does it help? Do they watch? Do they care? Are they listening? Probably not. The protest probably more than anything wakes other people up, your peers that may have come to watch or heard about it on the news or whatever. But do you think your congressman was listening? In most cases, I'd have to say probably not. Did anything change because of your protest? In most cases, I would say probably not. So what's the answer? Unfortunately, the Congress critters go where the most money is. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease and all this kind of stuff. But instead of abiding by their oath like they should be. So that leaves us two options if that's not working. One of them is just to keep complying with whatever it is and sit around and wait and hope and expect somebody else to do something till the poop hits the fan and then everybody goes to war and then everybody's gonna hate their life and everything after that. The other option is to not comply. Now, this works well, but only if there's more than one of you. Actually, more than 1,000 of you. You know, a good example of that is CB radio licenses. We talked about this once before. That was I think the single biggest, most effective act of civil disobedience in the history of America is CB radio licenses. They used to cost, what was it? It was kind of a lot, you know, in the 70s. I don't remember what it was. $7, $10, something like that. I don't remember what it was. But everybody by FCC regulation, if you talked on CB, you had to have one. You can only talk on certain channels, have certain power, which that still is in force. But you don't have to have a license anymore. Why? Because about 100 million people and truckers and all the rest of us went and got CBs, and none of us got licenses. The few that did didn't renew them. And the FCC finally said, you know what? There is no way we can go out there and catch all these people and do anything about it. They're mocking us. I said, and you know what we'll do? We'll just say that we're changing this because of this or that other reason, and not make them get licensed anymore, and it'll look like we're the heroes. And they did. And to this day, you don't have to get a license for CB. Back in the day, I know it was we talked about Uncle Charlie, who was the code name for the FCC when they come around town trying to catch people. And it worked great. So if we don't want to get firewood permits, what needs to happen is everybody in the area that goes and cuts their own wood needs to all go out there together and get your wood and bring it in and not get a permit. And if you get caught, you need to stand together. And that goes, yeah, originally 23 channels. I've still got one of those laying around here somewhere. And if you, when we had, I'll give you another good example, Granny Red's here. She knows. Who else is in here? There's nobody else in here that knows right now. Yakima Glock's not with us tonight. We talked in great detail several times about the largest gathering of armed civilians probably in the history of the nation, or at least since the first Revolutionary War. And that was in Olympia, Washington, at the Capitol building, where about 2,500 of us showed up, and about 2,499 of us were carrying guns. And did they say anything to it? We did not get a permit. Did they say anything to us? No, they didn't. There was 8 or 10, 12, I don't remember how many there was. There were several Washington State cops standing around there. Did they say anything to us? Did they try to make us comply? No, they didn't. They stood around and make sure there was no violence, no vandalism and stuff like that. But as far as being there, no. Nobody said a word. And you know what happened? We stood around there peacefully, had a great rally, lots and lots of frickin' guns. And when we left, the lawn was clean. Nothing was tore up. Nothing was broke. None of the bushes were tipped over. No water bottles, no cigarette butts, no anything. We just left and except for it was kind of wet and kind of trampled, it looked the same as it did when we got there. That was a very successful and very large act of civil disobedience. And on that same day, I'd guess that there was probably 6,000 felonies committed. That for those of you that don't remember that or hadn't heard about it, that was to protest I-594, I think it was, which was a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a statute. It was a, it starts with I because that was why it was named I-594. Come on, damn it, what is it? Anyhow, which prohibited private transfers and all this stuff, and it was worded in such a way that you couldn't loan your .22 to your buddy across the street and let him go hunting with it. And so if you picked up another gun that belonged to somebody else, it was supposed to be transferred through an FFL. There was actually a booth set up there at Initiative is the word I was looking for, Initiative 594. And there was a booth set up there. It had three or four guns, and the people just come along there and pick up the gun, walk around and get their picture took with it and bring it back and let the next person get it. Every time they did, they committed a felony. Was anything done about it? Nope. Not at all. It was peaceful. It was large. It was effective. And it was a history-making deal. We just need to have a lot more of it. Okay, let's get off of that here. Let's see what else we got going here. We got a lot of things to do, a lot of country to cover here tonight. Let me move over to this thing. And we did that already. And here's a good one. I've been looking at this day and I said, you have got to be kidding me. Austin, Texas. Have you guys seen this? Austin, Texas is considered changing its own name amidst all these concerns over, this is a brand new story. It came out yesterday. Amidst all these concerns over Confederate monuments and everything. When they found out, there's a quote in there from when they're trying to scrub Texas completely clean of anything that resembles the Confederacy. You remember, Austin, Texas was named after Stephen F. Austin. And he was one of the fathers of Texas. He's actually the guy that drew the borders, for the most part, of Texas. And he said he was opposed. He opposed an attempt by Mexico to ban slavery in the province of Texas. Tejas is what it was then. And said if slaves were freed, they would turn into vagabonds, a nuisance, and a menace. Okay. That's the way they felt in those days. That's the way, you know, it's definitely not something that I would recommend saying nowadays. They saw slaves, many of them, as less than human. And they got away with that kind of talk. And that was actually the reason why Facebook banned the Declaration of Independence about a month ago? Because of some language in there that you wouldn't say now, but it is still in the Declaration of Independence. And the automatic software found that, and it triggered it and deleted it as hate speech. And as soon as people got involved with it, of course, it came back. But for a short period of time, everybody was up in arms. Oh, you can't do that. No. But It's the, so the equity office suggested that the city name Austin could go, though the office admitted it would take an election since the name would have to be struck from the city charter and replaced. Can you even believe that they're, you know what this is going to cost? To get all, it's not a matter of just going into the city charter and saying, taking your gumbo eraser and what was it? Was it gumbo? Was that that little guy's name in the second grade? You had an eraser that looked like gumbo or gimbo or gimbo or something. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, go in there and erase Austin and write in there whatever they're planning to change it to. They don't even have anything figured out yet. But the city was already has renamed Robert E. Lee Road and Jeff Davis Avenue, even though a majority of the residents of Austin opposed those changes. They still changed it. And up next on this chopping block here for names is going to be Dixie Drive. You know, in South Texas, South Houston, there was a beer joint I used to go to all the time called the Dixie Drive Ice House. I wonder if we can change the name of that. Reagan Hill Road, Sneed Cove, Confederate Avenue, and Plantation Road. Now, does that mean that they don't have Gumby? Thank you, Cajun Mimi, yeah. Does that mean they don't have plantations anymore since slaves used to work in them and now they're, like, replaced by tractors and stuff? But they're replacing Plantation Road. We'll see how that works out. Well, I tell you what, though, this is one that we were just talking about this. We were just talking about civil disobedience. I want to find out what these Texans are made of. Well, Yakima Glock, better late than never, brother. I'm glad you made it. I want to find out what these Texans are made of. If they, you know, they're always bragging about how great they are and everything. And I'll have to say, I was a member of that crew for quite a while, and I've spent a lot of time in Texas. I like Texas. But we'll see what they're made of, because if they go to do this, and those Texas boys allow this to happen, they got no room to brag any longer. You either get this situation under control, or you sit there and don't brag about how cool you are. Because if you let this happen, you're not cool. If you let it happen without a fight, anyway. Oh, Yak had a broken water pipe in the house. That's why he's late. Boy, I hate that. Sure makes a mess sometimes. All right, let's see. What was time? Man, I've been talking all this time. We skipped our break. I was so proud to hear myself talk. So let's go on over here and see what else we got. We got a million things here. Got to try to... You know, in California, we've seen where they let you, they're trying to get safe places out there where you can shoot up heroin or whatever it is you shoot up. And then they're taking straws away from them. They make it where you can just poop anywhere you want to. I guess there's some stipulations there, but anyway, you look at the streets and stuff in some places in San Francisco, and it's pretty bad. Well, here's a guy in New Jersey, and I don't think they have this law in New Jersey yet. This is the Kenilworth School District Superintendent, Thomas Tremaglini, maybe? Submitted his resignation after he was arrested a couple of months ago, accused of pooping on the high school track. Now, this wasn't just one time to make a point. This was happening time and time again, and the guys out there and the kids would run, and they'd have to dodge the poop, change their course and miss the poop. So they, this guy's attorney has submitted paperwork to sue the police for damages of over $1 million after they arrested him. And the investigation into this pooping spree here started when they kept finding this on the track each day, every day during the school year, the school week. So they kept finding it, and I guess they did a little, I guess they, some staff members and the school resource officer had joined in there to monitor the situation. They were able to identify this guy. He was arrested 5:50 in the morning after he was observed defecating on a football field. The school superintendent, this is the superintendent of your kid's school, caught crapping on the track, football field, charged with public urination or defecation, lewdness, and discarding and dumping of litter. And I'm just going to leave that right there because I don't know what else to say about it. I'm speechless, I guess. That don't happen very often. Well, every once in a while. Jeez, I don't know. There's, I got to read that story right there. You know, we hear these stories routinely, regularly, about corrupt cops that, you know, we don't often hear of a cop or cops that does something like this that gets in trouble. They do occasionally. But here's two girl cops in Georgia, and they're not very old. This was just posted day before yesterday. And hang on a minute, I've seen a text come in. Let me make sure I've still got sound before I check that. And they, here they are in this picture, both of them standing by the flag, grinning like a proverbial possum here. And they stopped this gal for speeding. And they flipped a coin to see if they were going to arrest her. You know, heads you get off and tails you're under arrest. Well, they wound up arresting her. So the and you know, why are these people so stupid that they do stuff like this with the body cam running? They in the body cam the video, the driver apologized for driving too fast, claiming she's late for work, and she's in the video, she says she notes that they don't have any radar guns or tickets. The officers then privately decide to use a coin toss, the coin toss app. Actually, they didn't even toss a real coin. They did it on their phone. Heads arrest, tails release. Despite the tails result, she was arrested for charges of speeding, reckless driving, driving too fast for conditions. Well, they were both fired. The charges were dropped, and the gals... it doesn't say if she's going to sue him yet or not, but, geez, absolutely amazing. Sorry about that. And I know them ain't coughing from the dust because there ain't a speck of dust in this area right now. And I don't think I've been breathing mud, but that's all there is around here. All right, let's see if we can hit another one or two here before. The deal in Redding, in California, you know, you guys, if you're the praying sort, you know, take a minute and pray for these people. That is a very, very bad deal. I haven't checked it today. Last I heard it was around 90,000 acres. So far, five, I think maybe six dead now due to this fire. There was two dozer operators and a great grandmother and two grandkids. And then there was, I heard today there was another firefighter, but I'm not sure it was this fire. But at any rate, it's a bad deal, and it's in an exceedingly beautiful part of California. And it's just a terrible thing. For, you know, if you, probably most of you may have already listened to that video that I did back in 2011. When we had the Wallow Fire here, which was the largest wildfire in Arizona history. It was just a little over 500,000 acres, and it did get over into New Mexico a little bit, and that was when I was living in Luna. A lot of you were listening even that far back. And I did a video right then. The song on the video was, I think it's called The Devil's Fire or something like that. And it was done by a group, a duet named Mogollon. And I have permission to use that. And I did a video. If you want to check it out, that's my itty bitty tiny tribute to these firefighters that just give everything to save lives and to save houses and businesses and animals and stuff. And I posted it on Facebook today. I did it, like I said, in 2011. But you know, if you want to check it out, that's my little tribute to the all firefighters and all first responders. I don't care where they're at, but the fire in Redding is the one that kind of triggered me here to make that again. So, or to post it again. We have another brand new person for you to boycott, someone for you to not spend any money on and not go to any concerts. Well, that's Eric Church. I used to, you know, he's kind of a yuppie type country guy. He's not really country by my standards, but he had a couple of songs I liked okay. But Eric Church now, somebody has gotten to him. You know what, this happened 6-7 months ago or whatever it was. Eric Church blames the NRA for the Las Vegas shooting, for the shooting at the Mandalay Bay at the concert there. I'm not sure what you liken this to exactly. I guess it would be maybe blaming AAA for someone taking a Chevrolet and running through a crowd of people. You know, it's one thing to blame the driver. It's another thing to blame the maker of the gun. But to blame State Farm because it's insured by them, or because, you know, or AAA because of the, you know, whatever it is AAA does, because they have towing with AAA. So, okay, I see him wanting to blame the guy that was doing the shooting. I'm not even going to get into the whole thing about there being multiple shooters and all that crap. Or I can see him maybe blaming the people that made the gun. But blame the NRA? Why blame the NRA for something like that? Why blame State Farm for that drunk running through that crowd of people? I am just at a loss. Don't get it. Let's see, what is going on in the chat room here? Man, Yakima Glock says, man buns remind me of road apples. Let's see. There's a lot of stuff on Facebook. Cracks me up, all the stuff I see about man buns on there. It's funny as hell. Let's see. Well, Granny Red, if you already had it, there wouldn't be any point in boycotting them. You sure don't want to throw it away if you've already spent the money on it. The thing is, just don't buy anything from him. Don't go to his concerts and let all your friends know what a jerkwater he is. And hopefully we'll eventually cause him to regret his decision to be such an idiot.
the Cajun media, that's pretty obvious, I think. I would think that if he was going to come up with it on his own, why didn't he come up with it 6 months ago? I don't even remember when that was now, 6 or 8 months ago, I don't even remember. So whether it's Bloomberg or the Center for Handgun Violence, whatever the hell they call it, one of those outfits are coaching him or convincing him, coercing him, paying him probably to say these things. I doubt very seriously that he'd come up with this all by himself. But anyway. Look him up, Granny Red. You can get on YouTube, and then I'm not sure if he makes any money off his YouTube. He probably does if it's on his channel. If you listen to some of his stuff on other people's channels, then he's probably not making any money off of it. And that's the deal, is not making any money. What did Tinker put here? 25% of liberals are on medication. And oh, I've seen that. It means 75% are running around untreated. Yeah. it may have been last October. I don't remember. It was, it's been almost a year ago, so it may have been October. Anyway, well, we've managed to get a lot of my stuff done tonight for a change. And, kind of got off on a tangent there, but that's okay because that's what I wanted to do. And since it's my show, that's what I did. So that's the way it is. And speaking of that, hang on 1 second here. 1, 2, 3. There's that and there's that. Okay. If someone happened to take a notion and just happened to think about it, you could look up there in the top right-hand corner of the chat room, and there's a thing up there that says donate. So if someone wants to help with the cost of the servers and the podcast and all that stuff, please feel free to hop up there and send in a dollar or two once in a while. And the Tinker's the one that foots the bill for the website and the chat room and all that stuff, and I do all the rest of it. So if you'd like to help, it would be much appreciated. We don't do any sponsors for two reasons. One of them, without any sponsors, if we're not being paid, we can play music and do whatever without worrying about violating any copyright or any trust things or any of that kind of stuff. And the other thing is, we can be as politically incorrect as our conscience will let us be, without worrying about a sponsor jumping ship and leaving us high and dry. So that's why we're not doing that. So, all right. Well, it is that time. If I can get this clicker to click here, I'm going to scoot on out of here, and we will be back Wednesday night, assuming that we don't get washed away. I tell you, it has damn sure rained around here lately. It's the kind of rain that that Tebow and Cajun Mimi and Doc and all of them down that part of the country, it happens all the time. But we ain't set up for it. You know, we don't have the facilities and the capacity to handle that kind of water. You know, I've seen it rain 2 inches, even 3 inches an hour down south, down in Houston and Beaumont, down in there numerous times. But, you know, it's right on the coast, and, you know, it sometimes caused some local flooding there. It doesn't last too awful long. I mean, I was in some pretty bad storms, you know, hurricanes and stuff down in Houston a time or two. And, yeah, I did see some serious flooding. But just heavy rains, usually not a too big of a deal for that part of the country. All right, well, I'm going to scoot out of here at any rate, and let me swap this out here. Excuse me, my goodness. Ooh-wee. All right, let me stick that up there. All right, I'm going to get out of here, and with any luck at all, I'll see you all Wednesday night, and I appreciate you hanging in there with me tonight.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.